This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
All right, Josh.
Okay, do
oh,
not...
Oh, I almost called you Josh.
Perfect.
All right, Jack.
Great way to start. Listen, what was I going to say? We do not come... What do you say? We do not come to mourn the summer of Sandra. What do we
no,
say? I do not come,
come
to...
on.
But we do... We are... It is dead. It's over. The summer's over.
You can't,
over.
Like, weep about summer being over. You
yes.
know? Like, it happens every year. You know what's
yeah.
nice?
It'll be back.
PSL. Sweater weather.
Yeah.
Like, you
back
can listen to mopey music without feeling too weird about it.
Yeah, Radiohead's popular again.
Yeah. It's nice.
Great. It's sweater weather, folks. And when the sweaters come out, Sandra goes back in the bird box, doesn't she? And
that's why
enough.
We that's why we capped it off that way. Is that
yes.
how we capped it off?
No, love potion number 9.
Yes, and here we are in the chill autumn.
Yeah.
Now, you and I kicked around a lot of ideas.
We kicked around a lot of ideas, but
I imagine
also...
some of the ones, we have no idea yet, obviously, but I imagine some of the ones that our listeners heard last week from us
mm-hmm.
was probably really enticing
yeah,
for them.
Sounded cool. Yeah. I didn't remember. I haven't got to that part of the edit.
A lot of thoughts flying through the air, I yeah. imagine, in the Facebook group leading yeah. up to this week. We read them all.
Yeah.
We heard them. Yeah. Or we will have. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But we're sort of MGTOWing.
We listened, didn't we? We listened.
Yeah.
We listened to our listeners. We heard you. We heard what you wanted. And I think a
we
lot
will
of people
have.
Said, well, I think, yeah, because we haven't been able to listen, actually, because we record like 3 weeks in advance, so we haven't
yeah.
been able to. Like, if we do hear you, it's like too late, usually.
Right, yeah.
But we did
well,
listen.
We do hear you.
And
we
think
will
that
have
what
heard
people
you.
Will have said is... Sure, I like babes as much as the next person.
Yeah.
I love babes.
Me too.
Who doesn't love babes?
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
We're missing out half the population when we talk about babes, aren't we? Surely that's what people will have said.
The babes.
Yeah, the babes is one
I think
half.
A lot of babes actually like babes, Jack.
No, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying...
That's pretty heteronormative of you.
We've been talking about babes, Sandra.
Yeah.
But there's another half of the population.
Think we've done, what, 3 segment blocks so far?
Yeah.
2 of them have been babes.
Yes. Maybe just 2 segment blocks, and one of them was babes. The other was Hugh Grant.
Right, just the 2.
Yes. But what people are wondering, they're saying, and my wife said this to me, what about the hunks?
That's exactly why I was saying we're going MGTOW. Morgans going their own way.
Morgans, yes. That's what MGTOW stands for. Yeah, and
yeah.
I guess I'm a Morgan, and we're all Morgans.
Well, no,
situation.
It's Sarah's idea. We're just sort yeah. of going with her, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yes. So, hunks. What about hunks? Let's explore. It's the summer. I mean, summer's over. It's the fall. Everybody's going back to school. Everybody's got PSLs, and we're on the lookout for hunks.
Pumpkin spiced I've got some. I've got something on the line. One second. I'm reeling it in.
I can tell. I can tell you when your brain is birthing something, you get this look about you that means we're in for a long Googling something that's going to probably generate nothing. But you'll get there. I know you will get there. I trust you. I think it's your external trust in your infernal machine that is going to fail us here. Because you're like probably right now, as I fill time, just watching a YouTube video of something completely unrelated.
Name some like really good male. You've got, how about this? Pumpkin okay. Spice Ledger. And it's all Heath Ledger movies.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's so easy. Ideas in this space, this is such like a fast, rapid, creative space that ideas come fast and they come
hard.
Here's
what I need. Here's what I need to just to land your idea.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I need a hunk whose first name is P and the last name is L. Can you do that?
I already had a hard time finding a hunk whose last name was L.
Okay, well, now it's getting even harder. I can help you.
Celebs whose initials are PL.
Paul Lieberstein.
Remind me?
Let's see. One of the guys from The Office.
One of the like hot like romantics, like a romantic lead?
I don't think so. No. He's like pretty funny in it.
Huh.
But he plays a character on The Office called, I don't know. The Wikipedia page decided it wasn't worth saying.
Well, yeah, I don't. You know what? I was just at that moment feeling like that wasn't worth hearing.
Yeah, but just for the purpose of what the thing would be, it would be Paul Spice Lieberstein. You know that I feel like
I know. I know.
You know. Yeah, but I think it has to be PL. But that's not what we're doing.
No, we're. Sarah had an idea.
Hunks. Sarah had an idea, the germ of an idea.
She said, here's two things I love, October and hunks.
She said, I love hunks. I love October. She said, what about? She then did also say, what about hunks for Red October?
Yeah, and I imagine you said to her what I said to you when you said to me the hunks of Red October, which is,
yes,
what's that?
Well, and then I'll say now, because she has insisted, because I've told her how this concept is now working, how we've kind of spiked her concept a little bit.
Yeah.
And she said, the reason I said that specifically is because I, and in this case it's Sarah, wanted to you to watch either the film Working Girl,
okay,
with a hunky Harrison Ford,
sure,
or the film Bull Durham with a hunky Kevin Costner, both great romances, and then hunks for Red October.
I unfortunately have to report to Sarah, though, that neither Harrison Ford nor Kevin Costner are in
Hunt
for Red October.
Yeah, that's a huge flaw. And we need to have integrity.
So here's the concept.
But what is good news is lots of people are in that movie.
We're on like a hunt for the hunt for Red hunks. October hunks.
We're on a hunt for the hunks for Red October.
We're on a hunt for the hunks of the hunt for Red October.
It's October. It's October. We're on a hunt for the hunks of Red October.
And just to sort of, if you don't remember Red October, it's sort of, I think, maybe a light at the end of the tunnel for us.
It's one of the greatest films ever made.
And I think the culmination of this holiday season, it's where we'll end up.
He goes, you arrogant ass, you've killed us all.
Torpedo, get ahead! You arrogant ass, you've killed us.
It's a Tom Clancy book. It's what's his name?
Sean Connery.
Jack Ryan. Quick power ranking. Okay. Sorry, this is Dramatis Personae, and as you know, in Dramatis Personae, we have quick power ranking is like a quick little segment.
Mm-hmm.
Every actor who's played Jack Ryan.
Okay, I can do this easy. Number one, gotta be, I'm gonna say Alec Baldwin. I know it's controversial. Number
Alec
two,
Baldwin is the Jack Ryan of this film, by the way.
Gotta be Harrison Ford, no question there. Number three, four, and five, other dudes.
Yeah.
And then I'll put maybe somewhere in the 6 to 10, guy from Office, and not Paul. I know you're all thinking Paul Lieberstein, but it's not. It's
Paul Lieberstein played Jack Ryan. I think there's only five.
Office. Okay. Well, he's not good in it. And I'm sorry if you're a listener. I'd like you in The Office.
He's a friend of my wife's, so maybe he would be listening.
Is he?
No, they went to the same college.
Okay, so it's not that likely that he'll be listening.
No. It's like a connection. They went to the same college at the same time.
Guess what? As I will probably tell you later, I had drinks with a lady from this film one time.
Which one?
We're not even there. We haven't even said what film we're talking about.
All right.
I mean, people will know because it's like the name of the episode.
All right, so here's where we're at. Here are the five men who have played Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
John
Good
Krasinski.
Job, both of you.
Ben Affleck.
Bad job, John Krasinski. Bad job,
and
Ben
Chris
Affleck.
Pine.
Chris Pine.
He's Captain Kirk in the Star Trek movies.
No, I know who the man is. Okay. I need some more context for when he played Jack Ryan. And I know what people are saying. This feels off topic for your romance podcast. No, it's
Get your head out of your asses.
It's October Hunt for October, Red October, Hunks for Red October.
The Hunt for the Hunks of The Hunt for Red October. ...2014's Jack Ryan : Shadow Recruit.
Oh, yeah. Also bad.
I don't think I missed that one.
There's two good Jack Ryans. It's... Guess what? It's Alec Baldwin and Harrison Ford. They both did a great job. Patriot Games, fucking slaps.
You...
Clear and Present Danger, fucking slaps.
Think...
Yeah.
...from the tone of this episode and sort of the direction of this conversation so far that we'd be watching The Hunt for Red October this week. No.
No. This is a romance podcast. What's wrong with you?
That's a hard action. It's, you know what it's described as on the Wikipedia page?
Hard action.
1990, American submarine spy thriller film. None of those words are romance.
Yeah, we're interested in hard
romance. One of those words is submarine.
Yeah. You think this is a submarine podcast? No. Wrong podcast.
No, what we do is we look at the filmographies of all of the hunks from The Hunt for Red October. We find their romance films.
Then we watch those.
Then we watch those. Yeah. So we started with the cream of the crop.
It's a rich vein.
Sam Neill.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth build on the poster for The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
And let's see, what does he build in...
He's the dad in this one.
What does he build in...
He's one of the captains. He's the American... For folks who are here for Hunt for Red October content, if you came here from a Hunt for Red October message board, you'll know that Sam Neill plays a defecting Russian captain.
And I will live in Montana. And I will marry a round American woman and raise rabbits. And she will cook them for me. And I will have a pickup truck. Or possibly even a recreational vehicle. And drive from state to state. Do they let you do that?
Yes.
No papers?
No papers. State to state.
He's billed third in 2004's Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Which is what we watched for today. He was good. And honestly, I thought it was a good movie.
I literally have a note. My first note in my notes here is a note for me that I wasn't going to read out loud that was, just play it cool about loving this movie. Just play it cool.
I knew you were going to love it. It's
Be
like,
cool
it's
about
like
it.
So of a time.
It's jackbait. It's like pure.
Complete jackbait. It's also just like, it's like middle grit. It's like middle-aged, like washed up dad bait a little bit too, because it's all about this like.
Perfect.
Nobody who comes back from nowhere to like win
and
Wimbledon
British.
And fall in love with a beautiful
he's
young
so apologetic.
Kirsten Dunst.
It's perfect. And I have played it cool because when you were like, oh, let's take Sarah's nice idea and absolutely fucking liquefy it into this mush.
What do you mean? First of all, that was a brainstorm. I think we both contributed to the idea.
And I was like, okay, what are some of the movies? And you were like, Wimbledon. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a tennis film. I did not say at the time. I've seen it like 7 times.
Oh, yeah, I guess we could do this. It makes total sense to me.
Sure. I guess I could see my way to watching that. Interesting. I've been meaning it on my list. I like tennis.
I love was just this fucking in movie. Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
Home of the Tennis Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You been?
Nope.
Beautiful. Check it out sometime.
Okay. That's it. That was the anecdote. Okay, that's fine. Hunks for Red October, and this week it's, of course, everybody's been clamoring for hunks. They said, what? Why not more hunks, they said. You did Hugh Grant, that was hunks. Yeah. But then it was been Sandra Bullock, since I can't even remember a time when you weren't doing Sandra Bullock, so that's babes for too long.
Yeah.
And now we need some more hunks, and it's hunks for Red October, and who better to represent the hunks of the Red October than Sam Neill, and we're choosing his film, and it's a romance, and it's Wimbledon.
Yep.
Wimbledon. Does everyone understand? Let's pause for a second. Let's just pause and ask if everyone understands the concept.
I think people get it.
Okay. All right. Well, speak up now if you don't understand the concept, because we're going to be plowing ahead with this.
It's the hunt for the hunks of the hunt for Red October.
Can I throw in October?
Should we in October?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. We can throw in October at the top. So it's an October hunt for the hunks of Hunt for Red October.
That's beautiful. It's got symmetry to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We could sell merch beautiful. On that, I think.
Yeah, I think we absolutely
That's
can.
Got a the ring hunks, to it.
I think even just the hunks of Red October, and it's like a picture of Sam Neill.
In Wimbledon.
In Wimbledon.
And his like tennis manager, like crisp whites. What a movie.
Yeah, so we're going to hunt down these fucking hunks. We spare them no mercy. You know what? We're going to be like Captain Marco Ramius of the titular Red October. Hunting down.
Oh, yeah. No. Marco Ramius was Sean Connery, who was the driver.
He
was the pilot of the Red October. He was the guy who took the bad ship out to like hunt the East Coast of America.
It's fine.
Captain whomever, it's Jack Ryan, Alec Baldwin, who goes to hunt the Red October. God.
Well, he's not the only, there are a few people hunting the Red October. Because the Russians are hunting
right,
him
because
as well.
He ran off with their like Caterpillar drive sub. It's undetectable by radar.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Here's who else is in Wimbledon. Vision from WandaVision.
Vision is in it. Spider-Man Kisses is in this one.
She's in it.
Yeah, and Professor X is his brother.
Professor X is in his brother. Jamie Lannister is his best friend.
Oh, goodness, I missed that. Wow, what a cast.
Yeah, really stacked.
And Sam Neill, of course.
Sam Neill, of course, was in it.
Spider-Man Kisses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I once had a drink with. She was very nice.
Sam Neill?
Sure.
You went on a date with Kirsten Dunst?
No, absolutely not.
That's what you just said.
No. We had drinks with she was, I think, dating a friend of mine or a friend of a friend of mine. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
And
she was just around.
She showed up. And I was like, "Oh, that's Spider-Man Kisses." And she was just very nice. So,
yeah,
I imagine not a very good story.
No. Yeah. I bet Vision is really nice too. What do you think?
Yeah, he seems so very nice.
Yeah. Seems really relatable, charming.
We should say what the film is about. So we said
the film is called Wimbledon, and it's about fucking Wimbledon. What do you want from me? Like, it literally is just about Wimbledon.
But it's also, and I've got a segment for us to do about this. It's also about this very British fantasy.
Oh, yeah. It's like smut. Like,
what if Englishman wins Wimbledon?
What if, like, I think he's definitely, like, washed up, but at some point, we kind of, like, go into his mind, Paul Bettany's mind, every now and then, to live his anxiety.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
And you can hear voices shouting at him, and I think at some point, when he, like, whiffs a tennis shot,
Yeah.
Someone in his voice is yelling at him that he's 32.
Now you see that good-looking fella? No, not the kid in white, the other tired good-looking fella. Yeah, him. Well, that's me. British Davis Cup, long time ago. Two singles titles, even longer ago. Presently ranked 119th in the world. Sport is cruel. Now, I know it doesn't sound too bad, 4 million tennis players in the world and I'm 119th. But what that really means is this. 118 guys out there are faster, stronger, better, and younger. And it gets you thinking. Prime of my life.
How long can Peter Koch play?
Stop it. Stop it right now. Just serve.
Yeah.
So he's like a 119th ranked, like, washed up tennis star.
Yeah.
At 32.
Yeah.
But he's made Wimbledon on a wild card.
He made Wimbledon. It's his last. He keeps wanting to announce that he's going to retire this year, but nobody listens to him at his press conferences because he's nobody.
He's already lining up jobs. Right at the beginning, he's taking a tour of the, like, a pro tennis facility where he's going to be, like, the pro.
Yeah.
That's his, like, post-retirement plans. Some lady hits on him. She says,
We should look forward to giving you a peek at our ground strokes, won't we, ladies?
Oh, yeah. Do you think that's good enough?
We can call in the two prude dudes.
Yeah, I guess it's the two prude branding consultants. I think it's the two lewd branding consultants.
You think it's... Okay. Let's stop down for a moment. So we said what the old lady said, and I'm sorry I didn't introduce it as a segment.
Yeah.
But it is a segment, and I saw the gentleman waiting in the lobby. I didn't know what they were doing out there. I was like, okay, I guess Jack will, like, say something. But
yeah,
here we are. The lady says, it's an old lady, and she says it to Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should give you a peek at our ground strokes.
Right. And I think that means look up our skirts.
Oh, I thought it was like a hand job reference. Maybe like,
oh, so it's like you're in this scenario, you're like lying on the ground.
I thought maybe,
and they're stroking you.
I don't want to say what I thought, but it involved like the like hole of a
really interested to know where, excuse me,
the hole of like a golf green.
they're like a country club,
you know.
I don't know. The ground strokes is a tennis thing you do. You hit, it's like when you hit the ball that's like low in tennis, but it could also, it felt like it was like full of sexual innuendo, but I thought it seemed
really filthy because I immediately thought of like someone at least being jerked off.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah, I guess, well, maybe we can just kind of find that fine. You know what? It's weird. When I walked by, I saw one of each of them. It's almost hard to distinguish, but it was definitely like prude Tanner and lewd Jack out there.
Okay, yeah. And so we just want to like, we'll bring those guys in.
I think we're going to have to walk a fine line here, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what you want with an innuendo. So you don't want it to be like totally filthy.
So, gentlemen, can you come in?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not used to working with this man.
I'm ready to bite into this challenge.
We have nothing in common. I run a rival agency, and we find the smut that these guys are peddling to be absolutely beyond the pale.
I'm the prude.
Oh, you are? Sorry, let me try again.
I think
again.
This whole line about jerking one off into a
yeah.
golf cup is pretty gross.
Yeah. I think it's not gross enough, I guess.
All right. Well,
so I don't understand why these oddballs are being made to work together, but it's the only way to save America.
You think it's just a harmless upskirt?
That's just a day in the park for me. Yeah, it's just yeah, that's right. I think that's what it is.
All right. Well, let's find the common ground here.
Here's what I've got. I got a list of tennis terms to know.
Let's find our boundaries. We're dealing with a woman, like three women who are all in their 60s.
Okay, I've got it.
Peek at our ground strokes. You've got it.
I've got it.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want me to just say it?
Yep.
I think we keep stroke.
Stroke feels powerful.
And then the ladies say, should we give him a peek at our forehand stroke? And then another lady says, only if he's up for a game of doubles.
I have to call in another consultant real quick. Can you step out of the room real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Can you ask Tennis Jack to come in?
Tennis Jack?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tennis Jack? He was actually just over.
Oh, hey. I have a question.
Hello. Yeah, this is Tennis Jack.
Shit, I
already forgot it. Lou Jack. What was it?
Sorry, my thing?
Forehand stroke?
We're in the middle of a game of backgammon here. I had Tennis Jack over for a game of backgammon. I like to give a little bit of backstory.
What was it? Forehand stroke?
Let's give them a peek at our forehand stroke.
Tennis Jack, is forehand stroke a thing in tennis?
I think you would just say forehand. But it is a stroke. I think
let's just speaking as prude Tanner here. Tennis Jack, you can leave.
Okay.
Speaking as prude Tanner here, that feels a little too, like, it feels like,
it's
sure, it
sexual.
Makes sense,
yeah.
You know, but like, it doesn't
okay,
really,
well,
yeah, I think we have to.
How would you take my thing and tone it down?
I think we have to strip
forehand
it down.
Forehand toss? What about
We're
that?
Keeping stroke, right? So let's say,
we don't have
back to.
To
our boundaries. This is three okay. ladies in their 60s, and we're talking about second base at furthest, right? No, stroke, I guess, would be third base.
What about this?
I don't know where the bases are. I think stroke is like probably thirdly, firmly
okay,
third base.
Let me throw this at
into
you,
a golf
your
cup.
I've got one for you. He comes in, he says, hey, I'm the new tennis coach. And one of the ladies says, that's great. Looking forward to your lobbing a few balls in my direction.
That feels better. You know what I like about that is like it's sort of the opposite of the last one, you know, where it's like it could be retrosexual, you know, but like it might be a little odd to do so.
It's a natural thing you would say. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
We've landed it. If we landed the account, I guess account manager Tanner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think there was a miscommunication. I don't like have any like money or anything.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we fixed it.
Okay.
Yeah. And why did that come up?
Oh, because he's retiring and everyone's ignoring.
Right.
Are we still in Dramotis Personae?
No, we've said everyone who's in it. He's retiring. He gets a job. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with my audio again.
Oh, Iron Man's friend is in it. And I hate to call this early.
Yeah.
But Iron Man's friend is in it and he's playing Iron Man's friend. So that might make this part of the like Iron Man extended universe.
Right, he's playing Iron Man's friend from Swingers in this one. Right? Yes, it's exactly that character. He's the agent of Vision.
He is that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the agent of Vision, which I think is a thing in the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He crushes it. He's like kind of a cynical agent. But he gets swept up in the drama. Why don't we say what happens? Paul Bettany, because we haven't even introduced Spider-Man kisses, really. He's just doing his business, and then he meets Spider-Man kisses.
Losing Wimbledon.
He's like, okay, here I go.
Yep.
Time to lose Wimbledon, as I have done before, and as many British men have done before me, and as many British men will do again.
Yeah.
So this is it. This is the end. This is what it looks like. 1,000 balls a day, 300 days a year for 25 years, 6 million balls, and it all ends here. At 2 in the afternoon on court 17, while they're over on center court screaming for the latest Russian teenage beauty. Well, let's see if I can at least make it last a little while.
And we're talking about you here, Tim Henman. Let's just elephant in the room. Everybody is talking about Tim Henman. This whole movie
is, that someone
is talking
from
about Tim Henman.
Red October?
No. English people will know that at the time of this film, we all thought that maybe Tim Henman would one day win Wimbledon.
If I could win one tournament and give up everything else, it would definitely be Wimbledon.
Before there was Andy Murray, Britain's hopes of a first Wimbledon men's singles champion since 1936 rested on the shoulders of Tim Henman. For 2 weeks every July, Tim took the British public on a true roller coaster of emotions. Tea turned cold, phones were left off the hook, and dinners went uncooked.
Oh, okay. I don't even recognize the name.
Spoilers for the past, he did not win Wimbledon.
That's too bad.
Ever. But it just kept on seeming like maybe he was going to. To be fair, Andy Murray did win Wimbledon. He's a Scotsman, but we do have a British Wimbledon champion eventually. But this movie is about Tim Henman.
Okay.
It's about...
And he fell in love with Kirsten Dunst?
No, this movie is like, what if Tim Henman, but better?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For England. Anyway, we should say he meets Spider-Man kisses.
She's also a tennis star, a hot young tennis star with a fiery temper.
She's a young up-and-comer.
American.
From America.
Ugh.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a charm
Her
to
daddy's
it.
There's
British. There's an allure to it. Her daddy is British.
Sam Neill is daddy. And he's, mm-hmm.
He's
guess
our hunk
he
for Red
British,
October.
Right?
Does it? So is our hunt this week, has it ended? Do we say, okay, hunt, the hunt is over?
Oh, yeah. Hunt's off.
Just for this week.
Yeah. We lost
the
them,
hunk.
You know?
The hunt for the hunks of Red October continues until the fall, until October is over, at least.
At the very least, yeah.
And then, but this week, our hunt for the hunk for Red October in this film ended as soon as we identified Sam Neill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he's introduced pretty early in the movie because he is Kirsten Dunst's British daddy.
Looking for someone?
Yes.
It wouldn't happen to be my daughter.
Yes, it would.
It's Colt, right?
Yes, but please call me Peter.
Lizzie's on a roll right now, and I don't want her to have any distractions.
Right.
Of course.
Sorry, just to clarify, do you see me as a distraction?
That's exactly how I see you. So stop looking for her. Stop calling her, stop coming around, stop every damn thing that involves my daughter. Is that clear?
Yeah, and then so Paul Bettany meets her, they hit it off, they do a big makeout against the rules, because daddy's like, don't get distracted.
Yeah.
And then kind of the premise that is holding the film together is the notion that he's very superstitious.
We should still practice together. We must stick to the routine.
Yeah, you know, the hotel offered me a better room, and I told him, you know, I'm on a roll at the moment.
At
I'm
such moments, our superstition's all we have.
Exactly.
Even when I'm taking a shit, I must do it exactly the same.
I'd never thought of that. That's genius.
Yeah, you think of everything important, you do it the same.
They both are. They both have this affliction. And
yeah,
the only cure is like
doing it,
getting their dicks wet.
But he has relations with her and then like surprisingly wins. And then for the rest of the movie, he's kind of like, Vision gotta fuck or he won't have no luck.
Which is something she already knows about herself, I think.
No.
Yeah, she comes into the movie and she's like, I need to find someone to hook up with here because that's how I like clear my head and it's how she gets daddy out of her head.
Okay, sure. I'll allow it. There's a lot of Freudian stuff in this one.
Yeah. Although it does become like a point of contention later because she's like, what, you just use me to like charge up before a game?
I told you I needed to focus, to be away from you for just a few days. But no, instead you sneak into my room. You don't even have the decency to spend the night.
I had the earliest start and I thought you'd want the extra sleep.
I was some chick you picked up. Well, this chick is going back home to work on her serve.
Listen, I am sorry about your match. I really am, but please don't go.
Why? Because you need to screw me before the finals.
Is that what you think? That's why you think I'm here.
It's not really, Peter. Not even just a little bit.
Right. But that's exactly what she admits to using him for. So
right. It's yeah. So that's the kind of the narrative tension. Is like, is this real or are you just like trying to pursue it because I'm helping you to win Wimbledon?
Right.
Should we take a break?
Yes, let's do that. All right. We'll be back in a minute, everyone. And don't say I didn't warn you.
Uh-oh. Okay. That's troubling. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called Wetter Help.
It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because BetterHelp does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At BetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/bedfellows.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I want to introduce a new concept to you.
Fine.
Check this out. It's called, I think we can do this for just for important movies that it works for. It's okay. Called Yesterdaysing.
When did you write that?
I didn't write it. Paul McCartney wrote it. The Beatles.
Who?
Dig in a little bit further.
Let's Yesterdays this shit.
Okay.
So in Yesterdays, the film, which I hope we never watch because it looks kind of like crap, I think. The premise is that he wakes up, he's just like a musician, and he wakes up and nobody remembers the Beatles except him.
Sure, right. He remembers the famous Beatles song, Yesterdays.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like the only guy.
Yeah, and he knows, so he can do Yesterdays and everyone's like, whoa, that's so good. Did you write that? And he's like, I guess so. But so
he does take credit for it?
Yeah.
Is that
unethical?
I haven't seen it.
Just the preview. I think that's the question of the film.
Are they gone? Yeah.
They didn't exist in his reality.
Well, then I guess not. Like, it's original thought, you know?
Yeah. I think the film probably explores this. But so now riddle me this. And here's how it's something that it's a tool you and I can use to kind of crack open these tasty little chestnuts of movies that we're watching.
Everything you just said sounded really good.
Yeah. So imagine, let's yesterday's this. Imagine you and I wake up tomorrow and we're the only people who remember the 2003 film Wimbledon.
2004.
2004.
We're the only people who remember 2004's Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's today's now. And you and I have woken up, hit the alarm clock, hit the snooze button.
Better call Jack.
Yeah, better. Hey, Tanner.
First thing I say every morning.
Yeah. You give me a call. Uh-huh. Craziest thing I say, Tanner, craziest thing, I'm frantic. I've been up for a while. It sounds like you just woke up. Are you okay?
Oh, Jesus, you okay?
It's like 11:30.
Me?
Why are you? Yeah, you just woke
up. I'm good, but I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I've been frantically walking around. I was talking to my wife, and I was like, hey, remember in Wimbledon how Paul Bettany like punches that guy in the face who's like who is the main tennis star of boys?
Okay.
And she's like, in what? And I was like, what do you mean in what? She's like, do you mean in the tennis tournament, Wimbledon? I was like, no, in the movie. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? Are you okay? It's 6 a.m. Why are you up?
Yeah.
And I was like, I just woke up pretty early. I was thinking about Wimbledon. She's like, the tennis tournament? No, the fucking movie with Paul Bettany.
Movie.
She's like, who? I was like, wait, Vision. What? So that shit is crazy. And anyway, so I went out into the street. I'm talking to everybody. You know, my neighbors and shit. Do you remember Wimbledon? Nobody knows Wimbledon. Do you know it, Tanner?
Did I know it before now?
Do you know it, right?
Wimbledon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it seems like, sorry, you haven't into your coffee yet. It seems like we live in a world where no one knows the movie Wimbledon. So we could like...
Did we already watch Shakespeare in Love? Ooh, Armageddon.
Are you in this role play with me or not?
Yeah, sorry. Here I am. So and people haven't heard of Beatles yet either?
They haven't heard of Beatles? No, what? Beatles? All right.
I'm on the phone with you? We're on the phone?
Yeah.
Sorry. I was... Do you know... Do we have the hunt for Red October? Sorry. Do we have the October hunt for the hunks of the hunt for Red October in this universe?
Well, I think it's going to make... We can, but it's going to make less sense to our listeners because they're going to be like, what? Wimbledon?
Right.
But I think in Yesterday's, he like uses that knowledge to like make a ton of money.
So how do we make money off of the knowledge of 2004's Wimbledon?
Yeah.
Let me ask my wife real quick.
If she's... Okay, yeah.
I'm going to roll over in bed.
Okay, that's nice. You guys still share a bed.
Do you know Wimbledon? She says she does.
Okay.
Yeah.
The movie?
Oh, let me ask.
The movie. Yeah.
The movie? No.
Okay, so that's confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we could just strike it rich.
Sure. Okay, so.
So here's one thing. Let me think.
So is he a nobody?
The guy from Yesterday? I haven't seen it. I think he's like a failed musician.
Because I think what's going to be most complicated for us is we've got a $1 million idea, right?
Yeah.
The problem is how do we, me and you, get it to the people that it needs to get to turn into 2004's Wimbledon.
I think that's like one idea is that we could make the movie for sure. But I also think like...
Honestly, Jack, I don't know what you're going to suggest, but we would otherwise be depriving the world of the movie. And that feels like...
Oh, you think that's like an ethical conundrum?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in our world too, it's like Vision.
Like this, like, this becomes like, less about like what do we do with this intellectual knowledge, and it's like how do we save reality?
Yeah, that's good too. Okay,
but
I think
would you do? Let's talk about what we would do. It's 2004, or is it now?
I'm open to it. I think that when he wakes up in
Yesterday's,
it's now.
It doesn't feel like a movie that would do as well today.
But listen, but it wouldn't because it today is in a world where Wimbledon did exist. Here's where I think that...
God, so sticky. This gets so sticky because it's like, yeah, but like how much of 2004 Wimbledon has influenced like culture and society?
That's what I'm saying. And here's what I want to put to you. I think that the film Wimbledon exorcised a particularly thorny and important part of the British psyche.
Yeah.
That was, what if Englishman Tim Henman did win Wimbledon? And then we kind of got to see it on the silver screen instead of, because Tim Henman disappointed us. That's the spoiler for the past. But Tim Henman really disappointed everyone. I mean, I don't think he disappointed his mother. I think he was a good tennis player. Good job, Tim Henman. He got to the semifinals of Wimbledon many times. And won plenty of Grand Slam tournaments.
What's his
great
name?
Player. Henman? Tim Henman.
Is Tim Henman's mother?
But let me land this thought a little bit. Before you look up Tim Henman's mother. I think maybe the like there's like a cascading series of events that leads to Brexit.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? I think this movie is more important than you think.
Well, no, I mean, because we have this movie, but we have Brexit too, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe if without the movie, like, do they explore, what if the world is a better place without the Beatles?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't plan to.
So I guess we'll have to explore that. What does 2023 look like without Wimbledon? Maybe our responsibility is not, what do we do with this property? Maybe
we have to prevent it.
How do we lock this away?
Okay, so you think that because of Wimbledon, because it was important for British people to continue to be disappointed by Tim Henman, and I'm sorry to bring Tim Henman into this. He's a great tennis player. Have you found out whether his mother was proud of him?
I'm reading now. I found an article in the
Independent. Why don't you ask, you want to ask chat? I'll ask chat, because I feel like they might have. I can just ask real quick. I'll ask chat GPT. Was Tim Henman's mother proud of him? As of my last update in January 2022, Tim Henman, a former professional tennis player from the UK, has spoken out about the support and encouragement he received from his family throughout his career. His parents were regularly seen attending his matches and cheering him on.
Wow.
Like most parents, Tim Henman's mother would likely have been proud of her son's accomplishments both on and off the tennis court. I'm just going to throw, but he never won Wimbledon.
Yeah. I think this ChatGPT only works when you feed it, like when it continually gets more data, you know?
ChatGPT has conceded the point, so I've got it on its back foot. But it then says, however, the measure of pride a parent feels for their child typically isn't contingent solely upon whether they won a specific championship.
Ask ChatGPT if it feels pride. You know?
I'm going to say, did this lead to Brexit?
Oh, smart. I was hoping you could sort of...
This says no.
Oh.
Tim Henman's tennis career and his performance at Wimbledon did not lead to Brexit.
He said that.
That sounds like a little bit defensive to me.
So we're not the first ones to explore this. It sounds like he's gotten this question before.
Yeah. It was immediate. There was no hesitation.
Yeah.
So we don't have to stay. I think this has been a good thought experiment, but I think maybe the mission is that we would.
I mean, I think I'm a little too pigheaded because I'm immediately like, well, I'm an American. I would want to turn it into like whatever.
Because I think maybe like the
lacrosse,
the fact of seeing this like British victory that was hoped for but never happened in Tim Henman, and I am aware that Andy Murray did eventually win Wimbledon.
You don't
and
think he
also
counts,
that
because
he,
he's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
And you're racist against Scottish people.
Prior to Andy Murray, the last Englishman to win Wimbledon was Fred Perry, who won it 3 times in a row.
Wow.
The third time he won it of this three-peat was 1936.
Oh, been a while. Where is Wimbledon?
Wimbledon.
England.
It's in Wimbledon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But do you think that it's possible that the British psyche was like, everybody got too arrogant and by watching this, like, by exercising this demon that was not meant to be exercised, by watching Paul Bettany do it? Do you see what I'm saying? And then they were like, let's do Brexit. Let's elect Boris Johnson. Let's just like throw this whole, all the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. And I think we can probably, once again, I would update ChatGPT again and be like,
actually,
he did.
All right. Okay, so we can confirm that. Thank you for yesterdaying with me. I think this is a segment we can use only in important movies that actually have obviously affected the the historical landscape in a significant way, like Wimbledon, starring Paul Bettany and Spider-Man kisses.
Yeah.
What else?
I'm getting back to my notes.
Have we said the whole film? So the dad, and we should talk about the dad because he's one of the hunks for Red October. He really does want to break up the this incipient romance.
It's a pretty, it's a good movie.
I loved it.
If you watch it, you'll like it. But nothing really happens. And even the main conflict between, there's not a lot of conflict and the conflict's pretty weak. And one of the early conflicts is Sam Neill doesn't like Paul Bettany, like, hanging around with his daughter.
Yeah.
But it's so quickly just dispensed of. Like,
he's not as mean as he seems.
Iron Man's sidekick, Happy, comes and's like, sorry, it's good for, like, PR. And he's like, okay. And then they're just allowed to, like, be in love for the rest of the movie.
Well, then she's mad at him because she loses and she's supposed to win.
Yeah.
She's like the brash young American. She gets knocked out early. And then she's mad at him because she's losing and he's winning. And that dynamic has changed. And then also she's mad at him. She like takes it out on him because she's like, you just want to like, what was it I said before? Vision got to fuck or he won't have no luck.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, Paul Bettany doesn't say that line in the film.
He doesn't say it like that. No.
I would think that like, he doesn't it say could it have that, been.
Like, I think if you listen back, you would hear it over the course of like the conversation.
I think it may have been like the tagline on the poster. Like Wimbledon starring Paul Bettany and Kirsten Dunst. Vision got a fuck or he don't have no luck.
Yep.
And
so they dispense of that one. And then, yeah, the other conflict is just like she thinks he's using her for her body, exactly what she's doing. He's not. He's in love with her and he says so on the news.
He's so in love with her and he says so on the news. And it's really nice.
I suppose the real answer to your question is, well, love, really.
Love of the game?
Yeah, love of the game. But listen, you may have read about Lizzie Bradbury and myself being involved, so to speak.
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to set the record straight. I read the papers this morning and they seem to imply that Lizzie had let me down in some way. That's just not the case. The truth is, I let her down. I let her down, and for that, I'll always be truly sorry.
So touching.
Yeah, it's really
she
nice.
Sees it on a little TV.
Yeah, that's lovely. And then
and she runs to him.
Win Wimbledon.
Because he sees her in the crowd.
Whew, I liked that
And
part.
Then at the end, John McEnroe's in it. He's so annoying.
Yeah, I thought that I had watching this, and I'm sure it happens all the time, and John McEnroe is game for doing it, is it must be pretty annoying to be John McEnroe and read scripts where you're playing John McEnroe.
Like just being like an annoying asshole.
And just be like, guys, you cannot be serious that you cannot be serious is in this script like seven fucking times. Like, fuck you.
At one point, like, I guess we can play the clip. It's right at the end. He finishes, he beats this little prick. God,
yeah, who
they
he had
found
previously
this.
Punched in the face.
They found the like best little prick to play.
Yeah, I really
like
hated him.
The American like hot. Is he American?
Of course.
The American like male singles like
this is,
tennis
so
star.
This film is like very Freudian. It's about like the death of the father in a lot of ways. Like she has to like overcome her dad, the German tennis player who's his best friend. Even says it at the 13 minute and 40 second
That's
mark.
Jamie Lannister.
He says, he says of this guy.
AJ Bass. You ever heard of him?
Yeah. He's sitting over there. Look.
Oh my God. Shouldn't he be off discovering masturbation or something?
Played him in Bogota. He's like all young men. Out to destroy us, to kill the father. Like all young men, he must first be taught a lesson of humility.
Exactly. And you taught him that lesson in Bogota?
Sadly, no. He killed the father, straight sets. Watch out for his backhand.
Yeah.
So
he's
it's
so good.
Explicit.
He's my hashtag swoon, too.
Yeah, he's great, Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, he's pretty hunky in this one. At 1 hour and 1 hour, 11 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He, first of all, Vision, couldn't remember his name, has to knock his best friend, Jamie Lannister, out of the tennis competition. Yeah.
And
God,
that's kind
what
of
a movie
handled
that
very
would be.
Sweetly. Oh boy, Vision v Lannister.
It's got that gold hand with the tennis racket in it.
Yeah, good.
And it's handled very sweetly, and then he has to go take on this like shithead American.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lannister says to him, "Good luck, my friend." In this way, that's just like no one's ever said that to me like that before.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
I have a new theory of our life of tennis.
Tell me.
Oh, it's simple, really. You hit the ball back over the net as hard and as deep and as often as possible.
Sorry to disturb you, Peter.
Members have invited you to use the number one dressing room.
Oh, no. Thank you, Danny. I think I'd rather stay here.
Right. That's what I told him you'd say.
But it's like really nice.
It felt gratifying.
He puts his like hand on his back. That's really nice.
Big cold metal hand.
Yeah, a lot of Freudian stuff in this one.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, it's about killing the father, and then for British people, it's about I don't know colonialism. I think.
Who knows?
But it's America's daddy. That's what it is, right? Because America's daddy.
You're America's
and it's like
daddy.
It's this fantasy of killing daddy.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it falls apart. Do you want a bit better a blur before we go?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. It's a segment we like to do. It's called the blurb betterers.
Blurb betterers.
And we take the blurbs of the film and we better them. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Nothing to see here.
So the blurb of this film, I will read to you now at this juncture. We're just going to fix it so it's easier for people to know what's going on.
Yeah.
This is from Amazon Prime Video. A fading tennis pro meets a beautiful, brash young... I like that alliteration. A beautiful, brash young player on the rise. Just like a little tiny dash here, not an M dash or an N dash, which I find deeply offensive.
Just put like a little... Put a dot in, you know?
Yeah, just start a fucking new sentence. Sparks fly, but her dad thinks it's a disastrous... I like that alliteration, too. But her dad thinks it's a disastrous match for both in this romantic comedy. And that's, to me, that switching from, like, talking about people to talking, like, breaking the fourth wall and saying it's a romantic comedy, I found quite jarring.
I think that's jarring, too. I also want to say, I don't know if this is too much of a challenge for you.
Probably.
You did say I like that alliteration a lot twice, yeah. And I'm wondering if we can make our whole blurb alliterative.
Pretty alliterative. Okay. Okay. Yeah, sure. We can do that. That seems fine. Well, we're going to have to rewrite because I think I was on to something, and I'm realizing now it's not from the – believe it or not, it's not from the movie poster. I actually did come up with Vision gotta fuck or he won't have no luck.
Yeah.
So – if we can get that in there, but maybe kind of an alliterative version of it, that could be a way to start.
What's his name in this movie?
It's not Vision?
I thought it was, but...
It's probably Mock. Do you think it's Tim? I bet it's Tim. Peter I bet they Cole. Like just... Okay. Okay, so the first line of this. A fading tennis pro meets a beautiful, brash young player on the rise. So should we just... Let's just put that alliterative.
So
pathetic.
Let's just come up with...
Pathetic what? Is kind of fading.
Oh, I was going to come up with a word for fading that started with a T.
I was thinking a pathetic ball basher. Befriends a beautiful brash. I mean.
A tepid tennis.
Tool.
Tool.
Okay. We'll do your one.
No. Let's do your one. I don't care.
Which you like better? A tepid tennis tool or I don't like. I think I do like ball basher.
Ball basher is pretty good. Let's run yours back from the beginning. Let's spice it up.
A pathetic ball basher meets befriends
pathetic?
A beautiful pathetic. Yeah, we can do better than that. Like bathos.
I mean, it's kind of a good word.
It is. It's a
describes
nice SAT
well.
Word. Yeah.
Belly up.
Belly up is pretty good. Okay. Yeah.
Burnt
that's
out.
Good.
Burnt belly
out.
Up.
Burnt out is what we want. A burnt out ball basher befriends.
How do we say Spider-Man kisser with
a beautiful
bees?
Brash? Well, we want to keep beautiful brash.
Beautiful but, brash.
And then we want to say Spider-Man kisser. So that's going to be tough. Bug.
Bug.
In French, you would say grosse. You would say bees. Biseur. That's a little much. Let's try bug. Apparently, B-U-S-S is a synonym for kiss.
Bus?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Let's look it up. Bus is a kiss. He bust her on the cheek.
In what language?
It's kind of archaic. It's in English.
Okay, I'll take it. Bug busser. It doesn't make any sense. I guess we can try to explain alliteratively that that's an archaic term for kissing.
Okay, a beautiful, brash, bug buzzer, parentheses. This is hard, guys. People who write these Netflix blurbs do not get enough credit.
Let's see. What's the word I'm trying to think of?
What about a buzzword from bygone. Before? Oh, a bygone buzzword. That's
bygone
perfect.
Buzzword.
Okay, parentheses, a bygone buzzword. This is great. Okay, now we're gonna change that fucking hyphen to an M dash.
Okay.
So the next sentence is, sparks fly, but her dad thinks it's a disastrous match for both in this romantic comedy.
We keeping the bees going, or?
I'd be happy to.
Yeah,
unless
I think
you
we
wanna...
have to. No.
Yeah. I think at this. I think.
So
once
what are the? What are the?
Part...
What? Repeat that second part to me. Let's get the main sentiments out.
Sparks fly, but her dad thinks it's a disastrous match for both in this romantic comedy. Yeah.
Got it. So we have to say those three things.
Yeah.
Sparks fly. Dad thinks it's a bad match. It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Bees. Balls bounce. We could add.
What about
one.
Just buzz buzz? Because that's the sound that it would make if like sparks were flying.
Oh, okay.
Be like buzz buzz, but you know, like it's like kind of onomatopoeic,
right?
I, you know, just throwing some stuff out.
What's a word that starts with B that means love? Because you could say like bee blossoms, you know.
Oh yeah, okay, that's lovely.
B is sort of a tough one. Can we go back and start with S?
A bond blossoms.
It's a little cold, but if it's the best we have, I think.
Yeah, we can't go back now and abandon bees. I'm afraid
that would be tough, huh?
Yeah. Bonding begins.
That's even colder.
I'm going to find an adverb that's going to take this from cold to super sexy.
Yeah.
Bonking begins. Okay, that works. Bonding begins burningly. Bonking begins burningly, blazingly.
Bonking begins blazingly. Blisteringly. That blistering. Sounds actually a little What that up? Sounds like it might hurt.
I think blistering bonking begins is going to get us where we need to go. That kind of covers all our bases.
Yeah.
Bonking begins, but no notes there.
No.
But her dad thinks it's a disastrous match.
Baba is sort of, I think, something they say in like the Middle East for like dad.
Okay, that's pretty good. Let's keep that in our back pocket.
Begetter?
Begetter. I think that's pretty good. The begetter.
Or the breeder.
I think begetter is good. The begetter believes.
It's bad. Bad for her bounce.
Well, we can put bond here. It's a bad bond. It's a bad bond for both.
Bad bond for both. And then
we want to say in this romantic comedy.
Well, I also want to say that I think we can also fit in that it's a bad bond for both, but also hurts her game, which is his main concern.
Oh, yeah. A bad bond for both and...
And, like, a bad for her bounce or, like...
Oh, yeah. And, and blemishes... A bad bond for both that blemishes her bounce.
That's great.
In this,
Bubbly, how do you... maybe, like, brainy?
So I want something that's more romantic, if possible.
Buttery?
Buttery is getting close. In this blood boiling, not blood boiling. What do you get when you get your blood up?
Boner,
you
know? Like,
boner bringing. Boner bringing.
Yeah, boner bringing. Yeah. Yeah,
perfect. And then we just need something for comedy to bring it home.
Badinage?
that's an SAT word, if ever there was one.
Burlesque?
Burlesque is good. Badinage means a humorous or witty conversation.
Yeah, it's just too bad it's a word you just made up right now, you know?
It's from the 17th century French badiner, to joke.
Yeah.
So what do you want, burlesque instead?
No, it's fine. Let's do your one that is a made-up word.
Okay. And then I'm just going to say, I'm just going to add hashtag vision gotta fuck or it don't bring no luck. Does that seem okay or...
I think that's fine.
Okay, you want me to run this back for you?
Please.
Okay, here's what we got. Wimbledon. Tell me if you saw this, if you were scrolling through Netflix or Amazon Prime and you saw this, tell me if you would be like, yes, please, daddy.
Okay.
A burnout ball basher befriends a beautiful, brash bug buster.
a bygone buzzword. Blistering bonking begins, but the begetter believes it's a bad bond for both that blemishes her balance in this boner-bringing bad nudge. Hashtag vision gotta fuck or it don't bring no luck.
That's good. Honestly, they should hire us to do these because that one was really good.
Yeah.
It was really challenging to say the bees, but yeah. We did it really well.
Yeah. Beautiful. Everybody should watch it, unless we've been yesterday's, in which case everyone in the comments is going to be like, what fucking movie are you talking about?
Yeah, and if we have been yesterday's and you are in Hollywood,
yeah,
get in touch because we have an idea for a movie.
It might cause Brexit, though. We're worried because it hasn't happened in this universe.
Right, and we'll have to explain what that means.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Let me see if I have any other notes. I think I'm out. I'm tapped.
Here's our 5-second pitch when we meet like Michael Eisner in the elevator.
Okay.
We say, we've got a really great idea about a burned out ball basher that might bring Brexit.
Yeah.
Good.
That's cool. And yeah. his bug buzzer.
And his bug buzzer. Bad news brings Brexit.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I would like to thank the Bug Babies for bearing with us this week. We love and kiss you so very much. Thank you for coming along on the ride for the October hunt for...
It's called the October Hunk. The October Hunt for the Hunks of the Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, and it's what everybody's been clamoring for it. It's what everyone asked for. It's what Sarah asked for.
I think at this point, it seems as though I am keeping the sort of catalog now.
Yeah. So who are some other hunks in this film?
Well...
And are we going to assume any actor in the film is a hunk? Or is it just got to be the boys?
Well, let's explore here. Because I think what we're turned on to now is the 5 main hunks.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin, Sean Connery, Peter Firth, Sam Neill... James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
But Alec Baldwin is playing Jack Ryan, which I think...
Opens up
Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, Chris Pine, John Krasinski. So I'm going to give you a few ideas from down the list.
Great.
And you can tell me what sounds best to you.
Okay.
It's complicated. It's not that complicated. It's actually Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep in an old person rom-com.
That sounds kind of fun.
Entrapment, 1999. Catherine Zeta-Jones, Sean Connery, very sexy.
Steve Martin's in it. It's complicated.
And then pushing past that, 1998, 6 Days, 7 Nights. Anne Hesh, Harrison Ford, stranded on an island together.
Oh, yeah, classic. Classic. Let's do It's Complicated, and I think if we're going to do... Once we start actually veering outside of the... Because it's pure to do an Alec Baldwin movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Once we start veering into hunks that weren't technically in Red October, but are allowed under the concept, I'm going to push for Working Girl, because that's the whole reason this came up in the first place.
Fine. I think 6 Days, 7 Nights is a great movie.
Is it?
I don't know. I saw it when I was a kid.
Okay. It's pretty hated on Rotten Tomatoes here. Yeah, but it's a Harrison Ford. We don't want to deviate too far from... People don't even know what the hunk... They're still wrapping their heads around this. So doing an Alec Baldwin movie keeps us honest. Okay, good. That's the plan, unless we change our minds.
It's complicated. It's not that complicated. It's actually an old-person rom-com.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm worried about you saying that because
2009.
It's
2009. Nancy 2009, Myers.
So they're probably our age.
No, I think the whole thing is they're supposed to...
is that they're old? Well, that makes it even worse.
Yeah. Divorced with benefits.
Okay.
Is the tagline. Nancy Myers.
It's complicated. Great. Can't wait.
Remember the last time we watched a Nancy Myers movie? Look who else is... Wow! Look who else is in this one.
What? Who?
John Krasinski.
Perfect. Well, that really
opens
up a lot.
There's two Jack Ryans in this one.
Perfect. Yeah, that maybe we can just see how many Jack Ryans we can collect in one film.
Yeah, that would be great.
Folks, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's how we keep the lights on around here, and it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's only $5 a month, and
no one complains.
A new episode every week. Everybody is having a nice time.
Yeah.
And we sing the description. So check that out. It's patreon.com/bscc podcast. And join the Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. And rate and review the show. And subscribe. If you're not subscribed, please. Just do it. Just do it.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. What are you doing? I mean, like, it's no shade, but it's like, it's not how I listen to podcasts. It's no. Like, it like pops into my head and then I search for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to shame anyone. We love you so very much.
Subscribe.
And we kiss you all day long. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Grinring.
And I hope you find your half volley ever after. Pretty proud of that one. Half
volley. Is that a tennis? Tennis, Jack?
Yeah, what? Yes. Half, yeah, I was volley. Just leaving. Yep, no, that's a tennis term.
Okay, yeah, good. We might be childhood friends.